from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
James Hamm, who was in 4K today, live from the Hamsterdam out there in the hills. Hammer, what do you think happens with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, like we discussed this a little bit earlier. We can't wait to start doing Fantasy Fridays on the Insiders with Firas Siddiqui. And I'm a guy who I have a two-man keeper league. And I always keep Mahomes, which a lot of people disagree with, but I found it to be a really good strategy. But CeeDee Lamb is our other keeper. And like, I don't know what to do there. Like, do you keep him or not? Is he going to be any good 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in? Or are you going to? So I think it's tough because you're pinning a lot of your hopes on Dak Prescott. And I'm not sure that he's proven that he's the guy. And it's really tough to get this deep into somebody's career and you're not sure if they can lead you somewhere, you know, better. But I don't think the Cowboys care. That's kind of been the problem that you have with Dallas over the last few years. Say they just aren't a franchise that, I mean, they act like they want to win, but they really don't put the extra oomph, the extra bit of money that it costs to go out and win. And for, especially for a franchise that just got, you know, what did they say? They're worth over $10 billion at this point.
First sports franchise to hit that number.
Yeah. It just seems like they're always a team that's a piece or two away and they never seem to want to pay for that extra piece. So I think it's interesting. But you know, I think you have to pay them, but what's it going to get you? And I'm not sure that we know the answer.
I think the other question, what's it going to get you? I think the other question is, what's the alternative? If you don't pay him, what's your strategy? What are you doing moving forward? Because I'm of the belief they're going to pay CeeDee Lamb. They'd be absolutely ridiculous to not pay Micah Parsons. So you have those two, you know, juggernauts at their position. You have a lot of other good football players around you. If you're making the decision to move on from a franchise-level quarterback, what are you going to do? And that's the question they have to have the answer to.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you can draft quarterback. You can go out and try to sign somebody else. I don't know. It seems like their system there does allow for lots of passing yards and sort of stat padding. But like at the end of the day, if he can't get you over the hump in a playoff game, I mean, you do have to try something different. In his defense, his coaches have not been good at all.
Yeah.
And it's not just McCarthy. I mean, before that, it was just as bad. Was it Jason Garrett before that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a team that, for whatever reason, they're more than willing to hang on to bad coaches, but they're not willing to take the other steps necessary. And, I mean, you bring up CeeDee Lamb, you bring up Micah Parsons, but look at the 49ers. I mean, we can name, you know, five or six guys that are big time payday guys that you have to pay, maybe more than that, whether you're looking at Kittle or you're looking at, you know, McCaffrey, you just Trent Williams, you just keep going down the line. Like the Cowboys have some players, especially the defensive backs and stuff like that. But overall, like, I don't know what else that they're paying the big money for, because it's not like they're doing it for running backs that are super effective, or second wide receiver, or star tight end. They're not paying the other money that you're seeing a team like the Niners do. So I'd say if you're a Niners fan, you can be upset that they don't have, you know, 72 championships like Kenny believes that they should have.
Yeah.
But what you can't be upset with is their willingness to pay and their willingness to go the extra mile to try to build a team and something that's sustainable and something that has like a clear path that you can look at. And I think you can say that for most of the time during the 49ers run here. I mean, there have been sure some lean years where weird things happen, but overall, you know that they're putting the time and the money into it.
And now it's, how can they afford to transition from the Cowboys to the 49ers? How can they afford to get this situation with Brandon Ayuk taken care of, which I believe will immediately be followed by getting the situation with Trent Williams taken care of, and then it starts the countdown clock to getting their franchise quarterback, or at least the guy we believe who is their franchise quarterback, signed next year?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's where the 49ers are going to – maybe that's why – the Cowboys haven't paid Dak, because they're worried what that means. When you do pay a guy, then look at what it means for all the other positions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to end up paying, you know, everyone just says like, they just keep putting the $60 million a year out there for Purdy. That's possible. But it's also possible it might be a little less than that. It could be 50. But he certainly is worth it. That's what it seems like. Last night's preseason game notwithstanding, which I thought was one of his worst performances I've ever seen, mm-hmm. where you're just like, man, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But he's a guy that you need to build around, and it's not easy to pay everybody. That's not the NFL way. You have to be super crafty, not just with your with who you sign, who you don't, but how you continuously backfill those positions that you're losing. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that you have, is that if you don't have a system in place to continuously draft and develop players the correct way at the NFL level, so when you lose one, you've got another one ready, then there's no way to find, you know, tremendous success. And that's why I think the Niners have been so successful, although they make a ton of mistakes in the third and fourth rounds, more than I think most teams should actually, you know, especially for a team of this good.
I'll just draft a running back.
Yeah.
James, let's head over to the NBA here. As I was watching Angel Reese yesterday, Angel had 19 points, 20 rebounds, 10 offensive rebounds. She's been a double-double monster. She's already set WNBA records for consecutive double-doubles and so on and so forth. And of course, we're very familiar with that in Domantas Sabonis. Does Domas start the season with 60-something straight double-doubles again?
Yeah, I think so. I think life got easier for him this offseason. And, you know, you brought in, you know, such an elite scorer, such an elite talent that will draw attention to the wing like the Kings just haven't had the last couple of years. And not only that, but you didn't improve really as a rebounding team outside of that. I think, you know, again, when you get Carter back, Carter is going to be one of the better rebounding guards, at least you hope. I think that's something that people missed when he was being drafted, is just, you know, he's a great defender. He's got some athleticism. You know, he's fun to watch. He brings that grit and all that, but he also rebounds like Josh Hart. And so you're hoping that will eventually translate to him being, you know, a 5 or 6 per game guy at the shooting guard position, which is astronomical at this point in the NBA. But, you know, you didn't go out and sign somebody else to compete for rebounds for Domantas. So I expect him to be able to cruise around and do what he does offensively, and, you know, 18 to 20 points a game like he has the last couple of years. but the rebounding numbers, I don't think will falter at all. And that's usually the number that's tough to get every single night. And it just doesn't seem to be for Domantas.
We know DeMar offensively is incredible. Like it just feels like he is an automatic 20 game after game, year after year. His career shows us that. And since that signing, there's been a lot of who takes a step back for Sacramento, whose scoring subsides, who falls back a little bit, because those at least some of those 20 points got to come from somewhere. And we've had discussions about Domantas Sabonis, whether Domas is the guy who falls back a little bit. And then when you look at his numbers and you realize that dude will average 19 points on like 12 shots. Like, he doesn't take bad shots at all. None of DeMar's points are coming from Domas. Like, he's like earmarked for those 12 to 13 shots. I begged him to take a few more. He wouldn't do it. I got yelled at by everybody for begging him to do that. But like, he is, that's his comfort level right there. 12, 13 shots. They're all going to be great looks. He's not going to take a single bad shot, and he's going to wind up with 17 to 19 points.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's possible he drops down to 18 points per game. And that's just because the Kings offense is so like finely oiled and it's just moving and he doesn't have to do any of that. But I also don't think that he takes things like that are out of the norm. And I think, you know, people always ask for him to shoot more. They always ask for him to shoot more three-pointers. Like I've always said that I really enjoy who Domantas Sabonis is and the consistency that he's demonstrated during his time in Sacramento, but realistically the consistency that he's demonstrated over like the last 6 years of his career. He's one of the most just day in and day out consistent players that you're ever going to find. And I think that, that like taking things away from him, there's not even a reason to do that. You know, he's going to do his dribble handoffs. He's going to get rebounds and putbacks. He's going to on occasion pull up for three, and every once in a while he'll pull up from the free throw line. He's going to go to the line because he gets fouled a ton. But I also think that, you know, free throws are something that become contagious, right? And when you start having sort of the landslide and you get the officials calling whistles for your team, it usually benefits everybody. And we saw this 2 years ago with the Kings where they got to the free throw line all the time. Like, it wasn't even a question whether Fox or Harrison Barnes or Domantas were going to get their free throws. They just did night in and night out. They're one of the better, not only like shooting teams, they're fine as far as like percentage, but realistically the amount of free throws they took was really high. And you got away from that a little bit last year. And I expect that DeMar DeRozan's ability to get to the line will help Domantas Sabonis. It will help De'Aaron Fox. And just, you're going to have to, somebody's going to be open. Like, when you've got to take away DeMar, you've got to take away De'Aaron. You've got to try to at least slow the DHO at the top with Sabonis and everyone else. I think it's going to open the door for a guy like Keegan Murray to have all kinds of wide open looks. And the same for whoever's playing the shooting guard spot. I think there's going to be a lot of open looks for players on this team.
What's the area that Domas needs to improve the most on?
Well, you know, I did just talk about free throw shooting. He's got to hit his free throws. That's one thing that he's got to do. But outside of that, again, it's not like he's going to get taller or his arms are going to get longer. And, you know, like defensively, I've always thought that he's way underrated as a defender. He's much better than people think. Hmm. Just his position rebounding. I mean, his position defense is really good. And I know like a lot of people will argue with me on that, but like the advanced metrics on him are really solid. Like, you know, he's a guy that like win shares and stuff like that. You know, if you look at where he's at, you know, for the season, he doesn't just, you know, register a whole bunch of, you know, of offensive win shares. And that's what puts him in the top five every year. So this last year, he finished fourth in the league in win shares at 12.6 per game. And offensively, you know, he's number five at 8.6. Defensively, Domantas Sabonis was fourth in the league in win shares. So you can say that he's not a good defender, but like realistically, he's in position all the time. He's not a shot blocker, but he's not a guy that just gets torched time and time again. There are games where a bigger guy can go over the top of him and score some buckets. But again, like a lot of that is on his teammates to help keep guys away from the basket. And not only that, but one of the biggest reasons why the Kings finished, 13th or 14th in defensive rating last year is because Domantas Sabonis is one of the best defensive rebounders in the game, and he ends possessions better than almost anyone else. I mean, he's absolutely phenomenal as a rebounder. So what he needs to get better at, clearly he needs to shoot his free throws better than 70% from the field. You know, if he wants to shoot a few more threes, I would be totally fine with that, especially with DeRozan there, who doesn't shoot a lot of threes. But overall, if he just keeps plugging away as, you know, almost 20 and 13 and 8 assists per game, then you have in my book, a top 10, top 15 player in the NBA, which is why he keeps getting voted onto the All-NBA team.
Is it Mike that doesn't like shot blocking? Or doesn't like the shot blocking stat? Was that Mike Brown?
Yeah. It's Mike Brown. And it's also something I've said forever. Like shot blocking is fine. Like you need somebody to sort of play backstop for your guys, so they're not on an island when they're defending elite perimeter offensive players, mm-hmm. right? You need somebody to put the fear of Jesus behind them on occasion. But I also don't think that people want to run inside and go up against Sabonis because he does foul. And he does foul you hard. And so Mike kind of has the same thing that I've always said. Like, it's not a turnover. Like, how many times does someone get their shot blocked? Do they grab the rebound and put it right back up and in? And so, sure, you registered a shot block, but it didn't help you. Mm-hmm. How many times do you see somebody block a ball and it goes right out of bounds? You know, like, there's a certain... I'd say that Victor Wembanyama, when you watch him block a shot, it's one of the most impressive things about him is that he keeps the ball in bounds. Is that when he goes to block a shot, he's trying to get the ball. He's not trying to put on a show and swat it three rows deep into the stands. Like Gobert does that quite a bit where he's just, you know, flailing at the ball and knocks it out of bounds. Like, it's not a true turnover. So I'd much rather have a big man who picks up steals than a big man who picks up block shots. Although, again, you do need it on occasion where somebody just keeps driving right down the middle of the key on you.
What does Alex Lynn do differently?
Like, just in general?
Yeah, what does he do differently than Domas? Like, because a lot of times that backup center position will be kind of like an A to B type thing. Alex and Domas feel really similar. Obviously, Domas is more skilled, but like when you talk about two big strong guys, like that's essentially what those guys are, at least on the defensive end.
Yeah, you know what, I think what Alex does is he's really good at being in the right position. Like we saw it with Zion a little bit, right? So Zion had those games early on in last season where he just kept running through the Kings defense and going right to his left hand. And I think the first game or two, when Alex Len did play, I wasn't that impressed. Then Alex Len figured out where he was trying to get to, and he stood there. And, you know, he's a lot bigger than Domantas. That's one thing that, like, Alex Len is a true 7'1", 7'2". Well, I think he's listed at 7'1". Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a guy with huge wingspan and not only that, but he's not a big broad-shouldered guy. So his standing reach is going to be like really, really big for his height and sort of his wingspan. I just think Alex is a guy who comes in and he plays hard and he's super physical. And where Sabonis isn't a shot blocker, Alex can be, and he can also be a deterrent in the post. And then on top of that, you know, I think he's grown as a guy in the DHO that can play the DHO and can kind of go out and make the passes. He can't make all the passes that Sabonis does, but what he can do is he can set the big screen. He can roll. He's not a great lob finisher because he's not a big vertical guy. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't provide a whole lot of like when he's rolling to the rim, it takes a crowd with him because he's a huge man and you can't just leave him, you know, around the key. I kind of wish that, Alex would show off a little bit more of the 3-point shooting that he used to. There was a time where Alex shot like 37.5% from three when he was with Atlanta, and it wasn't on just a couple of shots per game. He actually, you know, shot the ball. And so I don't mind him out there, especially in the corner. If you're going to go with more of an open format type scoring. And he's not a great rebounder. He doesn't have the best hands I've ever seen for a big man, but I think Alex has become really reliable and a really, really good teammate. It's something that he's learned in his time in the league, especially with all the things going on, you know, in his world in Ukraine. I think he really started to rely on his teammates a couple of years ago. And in doing so, he opened himself up to become more of a leader and to become more of the fabric of what's happening. And, you know, we've heard Mike Brown talk about it, how Alex is one of those first in the gym, last one to leave type guys. And that's something that the other players appreciate, especially for a guy who doesn't get to play a ton when he is in the game and he doesn't get to play every night. So he's grown on me. And I like him. He's a very, very good dude who's got like unimaginable things going on off the court all the time where, you know, and I think he's been nothing but a pro for the Kings.
You mentioned Zion Williamson a moment ago. Did you see the new slimmed down version of Zion Williamson that hit the internet this weekend?
Oh, I missed it.
He held a basketball camp, and there was one particular picture where he's with two kids where he looks significantly thinner. You can tell in the rest of the, you could tell in some of the videos and some of the other pictures that, yeah, he's still a big dude, but he's clearly lost weight. And I think the number, Chatty House will help me remember, I think the number we had him at was 281 right now, which is 4 pounds below what he played at Duke when he was 285. With the goal of getting to 272 by the time the season starts. Again, he's a slimmer version, especially of what we saw most recently from Zion Williamson, but still a very, very big dude. What does a, and this is where Kenny and I really struggled in this assessment, where does a healthy Zion take New Orleans?
Yeah, I think it's the most difficult question ever because, number one, you know, he's healthy today and he's in good shape today. And unfortunately for him, that's just not his body, right? He's kind of been held prisoner to the, I mean, sure, he has to do a better job of trying to control his weight. But look, we all know people that struggle with their weight. Like, that's, it's the reality of life. There are people that can't stay in phenomenal shape at all time, even if they are a professional athlete. And like, we want to blame, you know, Zion, but you also have to remember he's still a super young dude. Mm-hmm. And he's still trying to learn what it is and how to maintain. And not only that, but like, how many times have we talked about how skinny a guy is when he's young, but like, look, he's going to keep filling out. He'll be all right. You know, he's going to get bigger and he's stronger. And, you know, a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who comes into the league weighing like 165, and you're waiting for him to get up to like 185 so he can hold his own. Well, the same thing happens with Zion. Like, as he's getting older, I don't think life is going to get easier. You know, he's still 24 years old.
Yeah, man.
And he's just a big dude. And that's not easy. And the wear and tear that his body has already gone through and what it will continue to go through. Like, we saw it with DeMarcus. Look how quickly DeMarcus broke down as a player. And, you know, we can say, oh, well, DeMarcus, you know, he's just not on a team because people don't want to put up with some of the other stuff. But at the same time, like, he fought it his whole career. You know, there were times where in Sacramento, he's over 300 pounds and he was always trying to get back in line. And I just don't think players that are you know, big, like guys who, you know, if they were just hanging out and not working in the NBA, like you don't know how big he would be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, it's about genetics. It's about everything else. Like there's some of it is there's nothing he can do. Yeah, what do they have the clause? Yeah. They have a clause in his contract, right? Where he's got to be less than 300 pounds and well, less
it's
his body fat and weight have to combine for less than 300.
That's it. Yeah.
How is that even you? I mean, you said you saw him and he looks great anyways, 281. There's no way he's 19% body fat. He's still over.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, he's a and he's a naturally like big dude. And I feel like at Duke, he was really muscular. And I feel like in his first years in New Orleans, he got even more muscular, but got like bigger in the process. So that body fat ratio that you were talking about started to change a little bit where he was big, he was muscular, but he was also a bit heavier.
They have gumbo there. They have gumbo.
They
have etouffee. They have like the sandwiches are incredible. Like, man, if you're.
Yeah. New Orleans is a tough place. New Orleans is a tough place to diet.
Like you got to walk by beignet stores everywhere you go, especially like the airport has beignets everywhere. Like that's not an easy place for a guy who's naturally a big guy. And I feel for him a lot of the time because most of his injuries are straight up just you can't leap like that at that weight,
at that size,
and expect it to like to not have ramifications long term. Again, like Larry Johnson was a big guy like this. I mean, think back to Oliver Miller. Think of guys that like they battled sort of like being huge human beings.
Well, think back to
NBA basketball.
Philadelphia Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia Charles Barkley was a big dude. Phoenix Charles Barkley won the MVP and, you know, was a muscle and fitness model. Like he looked phenomenal in Phoenix. But that was a far, you know, that was a guy who took the time and you know, Phoenix was notorious for this, getting guys in there and putting them through a regimen. And this reputation lasted with Phoenix for decades. They would get guys, including Grant Hill, guys who couldn't stay healthy. They would get them in amazing shape and put them in the best position to stay on the floor for 82 games.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And, you know, see, I'm curious to see what Zion does, but I'm just curious what this means for the Pelicans. Like, the Pelicans... You know, I think the thing that we landed on is they're an incredibly talented team. They feel like a mismatch of just kind of guys who are good, but sometimes they look like one of the best teams in the league, and sometimes they look like, what the hell is wrong with them?
No, I agree 100%, and I don't think adding DeJounte Murray helped that. He's another one of those guys where, you know, you're waiting to see who the guy is, right? And they got a bunch of guys who think they're the guy, but also a bunch of guys who are probably legitimate number two, number threes on most teams. And I think that that's always a problem. And then the one guy that you think might be something more than that is always hurt. Like, every time you think you're going anywhere, he gets injured and there's nothing you can do. You just flame out. And it's just really tough to build a team that way. And I think that they would be better served, like, taking maybe Zion and one of their other big pieces and just going for like more of a superstar to go with some of the talent. So the pecking order was clear, but still, I think it's one of the most talented teams in the league. Like, from top to bottom, they just really have all kinds of pieces that you'd love to have on your team. Whether it's Ingram or it's Murphy or, you know, I'm not a huge DeJounte Murray fan, but like, still a good ball player. CJ McCollum, still a good ball player. Alvarez, you'd love to have on your team. But then they have a gigantic hole at the center position, which they weren't able to fill all offseason. They're going to run into this season when Daniel Theis is their starting center, or maybe one of the young European centers that they signed. But that's a little sketchy. And then you're always going to be wondering when the other shoe will drop with Zion. And that's why, if I'm them, I would probably keep Brandon Ingram and Trey Murphy and play both of them for long stretches, because you know you're going to have 20 or 25 games a year where Zion's not going to be there.
We'll come back. We will talk more NBA with our man James Hamm of the Insiders from D'Lo and Casey. Return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Remember, West Coast All Car Audio is the place for all your car audio needs. You can head over to wcaudiotent.com right now to learn more about them. Kenny and I always talk about their audio systems, how they can upgrade the sound in your car, the window tinting, the UV protection, and the privacy that you need to keep the heat out. But the one of one that they got, James, and it would look gorgeous on your car, is that Icon Rock Clear. It is a paint protection like no other. It prevents scratches. It enhances the color of your car. It protects it from the sun. And West Coast Car Audio is the only place you can get it. They got three locations, one in Sacramento, one out in Elk Grove, one in West Sacramento. They can demonstrate what that Icon Rock Clear does for you right there in the car, or right there in their shop. So learn more, wcaudiotent.com, or head over to West Coast Car Audio. As we're back here with James Hamm. James cares about his car. He's got it looking nice in the parking lot every single day. And you'll be putting some miles on it as the Kings season is not too far away. The big schedule reveal was last week. We got the preseason reveal. And we're probably a month and some change away from the start of training camp.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're about to turn a year with the car, and it's almost to 25,000 miles. And that's just kind of my life, is driving a lot. And like, I'm so used to having a car that hits 100,000 miles after 4 years every year. And a lot of it is Kings coverage. So we'll see. You know, we were talking about this last week. I think when Sean Cunningham was there, he kept saying, oh, basketball, you know, the schedule's out. Basketball's just around the corner. It's like, yeah, no, it's not. It's like, we got 6 weeks until training camp, man. Yeah. we got 2 months until preseason. Like, this thing is going to take a while still, and we're just at one of those moments where there's something to talk about. But you know, this, you're hoping that there are a couple more trades, a couple more moves here, not just whether it's Kings or whether it's someone else around the league, but the August and early September have kind of been the last couple of years when things like late happen, and it's been a little surprising. But I wouldn't doubt that we're going to start seeing some of that stuff again here in the next couple of weeks.
Who puts more miles on their car, you or Sean?
Oh,
because Sean lives in town, but man, Sean is everywhere. He covers the 49ers, Giants, A's, like he is all over the place in that ride.
I think he told me the other day we walked out, I think he's at 270, 275, 275,000 miles. But I'm going to guess, just because of the age of his car, that it's me. Still, like, it's the, because I'm always, it's consistent, especially now driving to Roseville every day to go in studio. Mm-hmm. It's consistent. Like, there are, I would say in a normal year when just doing Kings coverage, there are at least probably 110 days a year that I drive down to the arena. And now that's coupled with going into the studio on all the other days.
Well, you just said that buying the car was a good investment with the Ham household. So let's stick with the buyer sell conversation. We had this earlier. Actually, Kenny brought it up. He said he heard it from your boy, actually, Tim Bontemps and Winhurst. And I think it's Tim McMahon over on the Hoop Collective. And they were talking about a couple of teams in the Western Conference and one in the Eastern Conference. And it was one of those, are you buying this team for the next 2 years, or are you selling this team for the next 2 years? If I asked you, buy or sell the Denver Nuggets, where would you be at?
I would do a short-term buy with with an option to sell next year.
Of course, James is creating clauses in the buy or sell game.
That's right. For me, like, look, I think they've got one more year where
having your Mrs. Ham attorney at law reviewing the papers to see if there's an out on this buy for the Denver Nuggets.
Yes. I think short term, I think that they can compete this year, but like 4 or 5 seed, maybe a 3 seed. I mean, you never know. Once you get up that high, you know, Kings learned that, you know, it's a little different when you're up in the 1-2-3s of the league. I think that they could be up there, but it's a little bit like the Dallas Cowboys. Not that they're cheap and they haven't been able to keep things rolling, but replacing the pieces that they've lost has become more and more and more difficult for the Denver Nuggets, and that's always tough. You're always hoping that you can keep a team together as long as possible, but losing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a tremendous blow for them, and it comes on the heels of the year before of losing Brown, and so between those two, and you know, Christian Braun is coming up, and you're hoping he can replace some of those minutes. You're hoping that Watson can replace some of those minutes, but at the same time, they've got two other pieces on that team that I'm always leery of, and you know, that's Michael Porter Jr., who is a ticking time bomb with his back. You know, we're talking about a guy who had 3 back surgeries before he was 21. And then, you know, I've never been convinced that Murray's going to stay healthy long-term. He's a guy who already blew out a knee and who just has that look and feel of somebody who's not 100% healthy most of the time. And you hope that he holds up, but that's why I kind of look at that team a little bit of a house of cards. Like, I could, Jokic, they're always going to be good as long as they have Jokic, but like, there's a difference between being good and being great in this league and losing like valuable role pieces and not having just the next guy. Again, I think Christian Braun is going to be just fine and he'll be a solid player, but you don't have the player that fills in and takes his spot that you're replacing. And you know, they lost Reggie Jackson, but they replaced him with a guy like Russell Westbrook. Again, that's just kind of a you know, it doesn't really move the needle. They brought DeAndre Jordan back. That doesn't move the needle. Like, they've got a lot of question marks about depth and sort of, you know, how long they can keep that thing to go, going the right way. So I would say I would probably sell, like, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like, I think we all would.
Like, looking into the future, it's probably like, again, I think they've got one more season where they're going to be highly competitive. But then after that, I don't know how long they can keep that thing together.
It was a 57-win team last year. That one late loss versus the San Antonio Spurs took them out of the number one spot. And it feels like everyone is almost universally down on them heading into next season. And that was even before Jamal Murray's Olympic performance. Like, this conversation started before then, and it started during free agency when you start looking at them like, boy, from that team that won a championship. And that's really what this comes down to, Hammer, is when you win a championship and you have the same core squad of a coach and a star player, the only expectation moving forward is to win another championship. It's not to win 60 games or get to the Western Conference Finals. It's just, can we win another championship with this group? And you exhaust that possibility as long as you can before you move on, make changes, or do whatever you do. And it feels like this group, no one believes, can win a championship again.
Yeah, I'm in that boat at this point. Like, Jamal Murray is really good in the playoffs, but he's not a great regular season player at all. I mean, he's good, but he's not great. I mean, he's not an all-star during the regular season. And again, there's all of these pieces that you have to worry about. You know, again, the way Aaron Gordon plays, can he continue to play at that level and using his physicality and his athleticism like he has throughout his career? You know, is there a possibility that this is a year that Michael Porter misses a ton of games? Yeah, the answer is yeah, totally. And they're probably, you know, you've heard rumor, oh, well, maybe they should move off of Michael Porter. They probably should have like 2 years ago, because he got healthy. He put together a couple of good seasons, and then you need to go cash in because you don't know how long that's going to last. And so I'm intrigued to see how they continue to build and how they piece things together. But, you know, you're just waiting to see if one or two of these players can develop that you don't expect again, like a guy like Watson, a guy like Christian Brown. You're waiting to see if they become like the next pieces to this thing, or if they just didn't do enough to hold this thing together, which is probably going to be like one of the bigger questions. And it's probably going to be like, no, they didn't. They didn't do enough to piece this thing and hold it together.
Okay. We'll stay at the top of the conference and buy or sell Minnesota.
I'm going to buy, but it's with the understanding that like they've gone for broke, and like Minnesota is in a place where you can sell tickets for a whole lot of money, and that team has gotten more and more expensive. And I'm not convinced that the new ownership group that may or may not be taking over is in it to put money.
Yeah. Where is that? Like, what happened with that?
Weird.
Still, I think there was like, they were supposed to go to arbitration. I can't remember what happened there.
Oh, no, it's still out there. I haven't heard any resolution at all to that. But, you know, the reason why they say Glenn Taylor tried to back out of that deal was because he saw the projected, you know, they want to be under $172 million in payroll or whatever. And he just like, no. We have an opportunity
to win.
We're
finally good, yeah.
I'm probably buying because I think Kat still has like 2-3 years of a pretty high end play. I think that you can say the same thing about Gobert. You know, Mike Conley Jr. isn't getting any younger, but they did make the move to go out and get the young point guard from San Antonio, a top eight pick, a Dillingham, right? Mm-hmm. That's who they picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden McDaniels is young. Anthony Edwards is young. They have had some turnover, so you don't know how much like losing slow-mo is going to hurt them. But you know, they've done a really good job of like the two timeline thing, where you're seeing, you know, sort of your aging vets and Gobert and Conley, and you can even at this point, I know he's not that old, but Karl Anthony Towns, you can kind of put in that. But then there's a younger group with Naz Reid and with Jalen and Jaden McDaniels and Ant-Man, you can kind of see where they could have like a really long sustained thing. So I would be buying the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'm selling. I don't buy them.
Oh.
Yeah, I just don't buy that basketball team. I don't know why. I feel like everything fell into place, and this is maybe where I'm not giving Chris Finch enough credit. I felt like everything fell into place last year, and they were all working as a cohesive unit to get where they wanted to go. The thing that gives me pause with them is Anthony Edwards. Ant-Man's the one. Like, he's going to be a top 3-5 player in this league for years and years to come, and we may see that ascension this year. I think we've already started to see it. We may see that full like rocket ship that takes him to the top of the league this season. But that's the only thing I can hold on to with that team. I feel like egos might splinter this thing apart a little bit. And again, it all worked perfectly last year. I'm not sold to stick with the segment. I'm not sold that they're going to be able to do it again. That's why I stuck with them.
That's fair enough. And like, look, I think they have lost some of their depth. But I kind of want to see, what is Terrence Shannon at the NBA level? What is Rob Dillingham at the NBA? Because Rob Dillingham looks a lot like Malik Monk to me.
Mm.
And if you've got that kind of firepower coming off the bench, you might have something.
Well, you mentioned Malik Monk. Might as well. We haven't mentioned them today. Would you buy or sell the Sacramento Kings?
Oh, I'm buying like the next 2-3 years, I think are going to be really fun. You know, they've got so many playmakers that they just didn't have, like the collection of playmaking. I think it's going to be tremendous. I think they've got scoring punch all over the place. I think defense is going to be a bit of a problem, but they got on the right path last year about how to play physical, how to match, you know, some of what your opponent's doing. Again, by the end of the season, they were 13th, 14th in defensive rating, but they were like number 8 after the All-Star break in defensive rating. They're able to clear up a lot of the bad 3-point defense. I think you got guys in their prime, a bunch of guys in their prime. And for some reason, DeMar DeRozan at 34 is still in his prime. I don't think he's at the back end of his prime, but, you got, you know, a 26-year-old De'Aaron Fox. You got a happy birthday, Keegan Murray, turned 24 today. Mm-hmm. You've got
happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, and happy birthday, Chris. you have a 28-year-old Domantas Sabonis. You know, you have all of these pieces that are around the same age still, and I think that they're going to be tough. Their depth is something that stands out, and the continuity of depth. You know, like you've got players who have been in that system now, a guy like Trey Lyles, you know, even Keon Ellis has been there a couple of years. Kevin Herter's been there a couple of years. Like your depth pieces here outside of your top 5 players, they've been around. Alex Len, you know, has been around for like 3-4. I think he's been on the team 5 of the last 6 years, something like that. Mm. So I like the continuity that you've built, and like, this is the prove it year, right? This is a year where they need to take some sort of leap to at least get over 50 wins per year, 50 wins this season, but like something that they can do the next 3 to 5 years. And that's where you're hoping.
Is it unrealistic to think that this team can be close to the level that they were offensively 2 years ago while still hovering around the level that they were defensively in the second half of last season?
I think the defense is going to take a little bit of a step back, but I think the offense can be top 3, top 4 NBA. You know, I don't know if they'll be number 1 in the league. And you also have to look that some of the teams that play that style of offense that are just so over the top good offensively, they'll just say Indiana, they're so bad defensively. And so part of the reason why their offensive rating is so high is because they're just running down to the other end and not playing any defense and then getting right back and scoring again. I think the Kings have an opportunity to be one of those teams that are a solid defensive team and a great offensive team. So not just a sieve on one end and, you know, great on the other end. I think that they'll have better balance than some of the other teams that are putting up, you know, ridiculously high numbers. They're not going to be the Boston Celtics, who are one of the best offensive teams and the best defensive team in the league. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be like the Timberwolves, who were the best defensive team, or right there with Boston as, you know, such a high level defensive team, but not as high offensive. I think they'll be a sort of a happy medium. And in the half court, I think they'll be one of the most like unstoppable half court offenses to go with the speed and the pace they play with. I think they'll be really dangerous.
Would you credit the defense that they played last year? Because you said you think it'll take a step back this season. Credit's probably the wrong word. But was it a product of the way the game was being officiated at the post, like, all-star break time in the NBA?
Well, I think it was the Kings' ability to adapt to the new NBA after the all-star break, where other teams didn't. Like, I think guys like De'Aaron Fox went into games with a new attitude and like, look, if this is the way they're calling it, and if I'm not going to get any calls on the other end, then I'm going to play. I'm going to like manhandle people. I'm going to get physical. I'm going to go for steals that I normally wouldn't go for. I think that the Kings were able to amp up their level of energy and activity in the second half to match the new rules. And like, look, they're a team that wasn't getting the respect anyways, as far as like free throw attempts and stuff like that. So they kind of just threw all caution to the wind and said, hey, let's just go for it. If they're not going to call anything, then man up. Let's go. Let's play as physical as we can. And maybe more than any team that we saw in the league, they took that step post All-Star break, where I think, you know, again, the Minnesotas and the Boston Celtics of the world, they were already great defensively, but I think the Kings were able to understand the memo from the NBA and run with it as well or better than almost anyone else in the league.
You mentioned free throws. That's got to be one thing that Kings fans should be most excited about when it comes to the acquisition of DeMar DeRozan, is that man will get to the free throw line.
More than that, that man hits his free throws. Well,
that too.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's one thing for a guy to get to the free throw line, what is it, 7.7 times per game last year. But on top of that, you know, this is a guy who is a career 84.1% from the line. He shot 85.3 last year. Over his career, he's averaged 6.6 attempts per game. And again, I think that's something that's contagious. When you're the aggressor on the offensive end, you get more calls. And if DeMar DeRozan starts getting those calls, I think the other players on the team will also kind of follow suit. I think they will start to attack the rim more and sort of get to the line. The biggest thing for me, like last year, the Kings shot 74.5% from the line. They were atrocious. They were 30th in the league in free throw percentage, and there's no excuse for that. They also dropped all the way down to 21st in the league at 20.9 free throw attempts per game. And what I was talking about earlier is the year before, that wasn't really all that big of an issue. You know, they shot 79% from the line. They were 12th. They also shot 25.1 free throw attempts per game, which was 7th in the league. They made the third most free throws the previous year when they were the best offensive team in the league. And they should be able to get back to that this season with the addition of DeMar DeRozan and sort of this collective. It's almost like when guys start hitting home runs in Major League Baseballs and everybody's hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, when guys start missing free throws, everybody misses free throws. I mean, I think it was two games during the season where Malik Monk missed free throws that cost them the game. And we're talking about an elite free throw shooter. And I think they let that seep into their sort of part of their identity, which is not a good thing.
And you just said that they were the worst last year, right? Were they the worst in the league last year?
Oh, they were by far the worst. Yeah, by far. They were 30th in the league in free throw percentage, and it wasn't even remotely close. And when you are missing free throws like that, you tend to not go get free throws because of it. And I think that becomes as much of it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's one thing to miss them, but then when that gets in your head, and you got an opportunity to either hit the gas and go right at somebody at the rim, or pull up from 16 feet and hit a little jumper, knowing that one could lead to you going to the free throw line where you're shooting, you know, 70% from the line. I think a lot of times guys started to pull up a little bit, and that's because it gets in your head a little bit when you're missing free throws. And again, it became contagious, which was not something I expected.
It's one of the maddening things about this team is a lot of their mistakes were avoidable. They felt like unforced errors. Like, I mean, free throws is part of the game. Like missing free throws, you don't kill people for that. Like, occasionally you miss free throws. The sheer volume in which they miss free throws was like, yeah, this is actually costing you basketball games. And it's one of the things you can hang your hat on as a Kings fan is that they are, and you try not to think too much of it, but they are better than what they played last year. And I think you could go so far as to say they are significantly better than they played last year.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And Damian, they averaged 20.9 free throw attempts per game last year. They hit 15.5, so they missed 5.4 free throws per game.
Mm.
I mean, that is crazy as a team to miss, to leave over 5 points a game on the table. And like you're talking about a team that scored huge numbers, but you know, a team that finished ninth in the league in points per game at 116.6, they would have been, even if they hit two more free throws per game, they would have been like top five in points per game. Yeah, they left a lot on the table last year.
Mm. Jesse's telling us we have to end our show. So,
all right.
Fun's over. We appreciate you so much for being with us. Tomorrow, episode number 999, as the countdown to 1,000 comes to a conclusion tomorrow. We gear up for the big show on Wednesday. Make sure you locked in beginning at 10 a.m. with James Ham, Kyle Mattson, and the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!